This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Tonight's live feed features comedy from Chris Hegedus, who headlined the Big Boobs Comedy Show in April and has also performed at the Las Vegas and Boston Comedy Festivals. Here's Doug Westerman with Chris Hegedus on tonight's live feed.
Chris Hegedus is with us right now on the live feed. Thank you for joining us on your journey into southeastern Minnesota and Winona in particular. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's great to be able to be heard by hundreds of people in the greater Winona area.
You know, there are three places on this earth, particularly in this country, I want to say Newark, New Jersey, Buffalo, New York, and Cleveland, Ohio, where people are kind of ridiculed. And how do you deal with that as being a comedian? Do you just kind of roll with it, or are you a staunch defender of your hometown?
You know what's funny about that is I love being from Cleveland, and it's one of those things where you go places. I mean, you got to perform anywhere. People are people. I don't care how big it is or how small it is. Everybody likes the same things. But, man, I've never apologized for being where I'm from. I love Cleveland with all my heart, and it's a good town with good people and all that other cliche BS that you're supposed to say. But, I mean, I think that's just part of it. You grow up in a town, you're so used to getting kicked all the time that it toughens your skin, and you take pride of being that kid that gets beaten up by the bully and shows up the next day and smiles at him again.
Would you call your route to being a comedian, a stand-up comedian, typical?
You say typical or difficult? Because I'd say both.
I started with typical.
Typical? I don't know if I go typical. I mean, it's like anything else. Everybody has their route to it. I was in corporate banking for 6 years after I graduated college, and I was always, if I could do it all over again in high school and college, I would be that guy that would do like the plays and would be doing the arty stuff. But I was a business major throughout college and everything. And then after I got into corporate America for a few years and wanted to blow my head off, I finally had the courage to go after it. So, I mean, I think a lot of people start when they're younger than I did. I think I really started off when I was 24, 25. So I think I was a little late to it, but it was more of a natural thing. Things happen for when you want them to happen, I guess.
So was that line of work, does that still provide material for you today?
You know what? I don't do anything at all about banking. I don't think there's anything funny about banking for people that are in banking, let alone people that are not in it at all. So I wouldn't want to bore people to death with that.
Good job, because one of my jobs, I was working at a radio station in the Twin Cities, and there was a bank upstairs, and I would walk through that lobby on the way to the cash machine, and I would never see a smiling face.
Oh, and it's not everybody. There's a lot of great people I used to work with, but it's a miserable fake existence as far as I'm concerned. Sorry to any future banks that might pay me to be a spokesperson. I'm just kidding. Just very, I wasn't a big enough douchebag to fight the corporate fight. I was too busy being honest and trying to help people. But think about it, if you were counting other people's money all day and it didn't belong to you and you're getting paid $10 an hour, you wouldn't smile either behind the teller desk.
No, sir, you wouldn't.
Countries are passing us in everything. Like, everybody buys foreign cars and everything. Like, I hate when countries outdo us on everything. Like, just last month, Japan opened the world's largest water park. Oh, here we go. We're going to groan on that. Okay. Don't get judgmental. If that was on Family Guy, you'd be laughing your ass off. Yeah. It's okay. The dog said it. F*** off. All right. Commercials are getting out of hand. It's 2011 already. We still have terrible things like AIDS, cancers, diabetes. We don't even know what to do with the common cold. But thank God last year a drug company got their time and money together with Brooke Shields to come out with a women's prescription drug to make your eyelashes longer. Yes, ladies, we've come too far. I don't want to sound too chauvinistic, but on a scale of things that matter when we first meet you, eyelashes is not a deal breaker, okay? Like, if you have a D cup or bigger, we might not know you have a head for 3 months. We're simple creatures. We are. We are going to accept that noise is coming out of your neck, and we're happy. This show, three people clapping counts as an applause break. One, mark it down. Flomax is my favorite commercial of all time. I love the Flomax commercial. If you DVR everything, you TiVo, you don't pay attention to commercials anymore. Next time a Flomax commercial's on, give it like 30 seconds. Just listen to it. Because if you don't know what Flomax is, Flomax is a male prostate drug, okay? Listen to the commercials. Swear to God, two of the side effects you can suffer from taking Flomax are decreased semen and increased runny nose. Think.
Worth it.
No, that means you could be at a movie theater, sneeze, and get five girls in front of you pregnant and not know it. It's a coming attraction you have to pay for at least 18 years. Women never complain about premature ejaculation during anal sex. If you got that one, you got it. Good for you. All right. Good to see you smiling again, princess. All right. I don't even like commercials for home pregnancy tests. Always piss me off because, like, well, I can admit, in the fall, my girlfriend had to take a home pregnancy test because she had what you ladies like to refer to as a scare. Yeah, she had a scare. I was scared too because anyone was going to move all my stuff that fast. It's always a little funny for the guys. All right. No, but commercials for home pregnancy tests are always like the ideal situation. There's always like the husband and wife sitting in their immaculate living room. There's like a fire going. They're all cozy together. The wife's waving the test around like it's a NASCAR victory flag, even though she took a leak on it 3 minutes ago. You know, but it's always so happy. It's like, me and Elliot are finally going to start our family. Just once in my life, I want to see an honest pregnancy test commercial. Like, I want to see a girl crying in her dorm room. That counts. That's two. That counts. Ring that one out. It's a great joke for a college town. What's wrong with you? All right. I don't know if you know this. Did you know you can buy a home pregnancy test at the dollar stores? You nodded your head. No, I'm not judging. Oh, funny if she gets picked on, huh? All right. Tables have turned. No, seriously, again, I am not here to tell anyone how to live their lives. Like, most of you have never even heard of me before. But I'm just saying that there are certain things in life that you should go top shelf on. I'm saying I pissed on an extra one as a joke and I was pregnant. Yes. Me and my girlfriend were in the bathroom. Her stick said negative. Mine said positive. We looked at each other. I'm like, I don't know. Rock, paper, scissors? What do we... Spent the next 9 hours trying to figure out how I was going to pee it back inside her. White Polo found it funny. That's fine. It's fine with me. Kind of regret not putting my clubs in the car. I want to hang out with him before I leave tomorrow. Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow? Working? Oh. Then again, maybe if I didn't buy my condoms at Dollar General, I wouldn't be in that predicament. I'm just kidding. I don't wear condoms. All right. All right. I was going to leave you alone. But when I said the sentence, I don't wear condoms, you excitedly threw your Pepsi Cola all over the table. Trying to show me how wet that joke just made you. Yeah. Oh, wow. You inspire me. You're the kind of girl that I don't need to keep Kleenex by my bed. I need paper towels. I need some brownie. Look at you. Look at that, yeah. Not only do you have to tip your server, you have to tip me out too, because I'm the bus boy, so I get 1% of her sales. Yeah, all right. $3. Looking up.
So Miami of Ohio, was that a good place to learn that craft and things like that? Did you do any kind of stand-up in college?
I actually didn't do any stand-up, but what I did do is more your line of work. Really, the first entertainment thing that I did was me and a buddy that I met there had a late-night radio show, and Miami's student radio at the time was, and this is kind of dating me, but this is when internet radio was like non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
But our radio show, the student radio, didn't pay to be on an FM channel, so we were really doing college student radio to the TVs and dorms and on the internet. But that was like, you know, it was like anything else. It was a college kids playing alternative music, putting little wacky morning radio stuff in there, but we did it late at night. So that was probably my first real inclination of entertaining at all.
Mm-hmm. Then the banking thing. And then so you're a young comedian. You did the whole, you know, you found stand-up, you found open mics here and there and just went to them and just kind of tackled it and just kind of grinded to where you are today, I guess.
Yeah, I did the open mic thing. I actually did what some people do. A lot of local comics do classes or whatever. And I took a stand-up class at a local arts center in Cleveland. And then, you know, you start doing the open mic thing for about, I did that for a couple of years. And that's when it really started to, you know, once it, you know, you first start off and you think, oh, I'll do an open mic once a month to be a superstar. And then you learn that's not how the business works.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple of years of doing the open mics and just doing stuff locally, that's where I decided to quit the regular corporate job and, you know, start bartending and doing something flexible and then going after stand-up as a career.
Did you ever find yourself to be kind of overly anxious whether or not you were funny or not? Because it's one of those, you know, it's such a subjective thing.
Oh, anybody that says they don't worry about it is lying. I mean, stand-up in itself is such a lonely, ego-driven thing. I mean, when you think about it, if you, with a microphone in front of 50 to 500 people, trying to get them to laugh, to approve of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I get nervous still. I mean, I don't care, you know, how many times. I still get as nervous before every show as I do now as I did 8 years ago.
Hey, I had a kid who worked for me who would come into my office and say, wasn't that funny? And I would say, well, you shouldn't really ask me if it's funny. If it's funny, I'll laugh, I promise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is like the weird thing with what you do of that dynamic is, as a stand-up, you're just used to that instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
If the crowd laughs, then yeah, it was funny. You don't need to ask. If they didn't laugh, then you say, okay, I didn't say that funny, or that isn't funny how I said it. So you know. And I think that's funny with the thing with radio is, you know, you can say something and you're going out and, you know, your audience can be roaring in their cars or whatever, but you don't know that. I think that's a weird dynamic with what you guys do. I would have trouble with that now, I think.
So, I mean, I would imagine it's pretty typical where a joke that worked on Wednesday didn't work on Thursday has you scratching your head.
It does. I mean, most comics have their stuff, their bag of dancing tricks. You know, you have certain bits and you have certain material that you know is going to work. And if on a Thursday it doesn't work, there's jokes where you go, that works 98 out of 100 times, that's fine. But I think in the pure standpoint of it, if something, you know, you're doing a new bit or you're doing something new that you find funny, if it works on a Wednesday and it doesn't work on a Thursday, it works on Friday, not again on Saturday. I mean, that's the craft of toying with how you set it one way or what you need to change in it so what you're saying hits the audience more. So what you're saying, what did I say Wednesday? How did I word this Wednesday, how I didn't do it Thursday? So mm-hmm. You got to try and find a way to make it consistent. And that's the birth of a joke, really. That's the maturation process of it. And I don't think I said that right, but I'm not being checked for pronunciation, I hope.
No, sir, you're not.
The dry, I love how it's like you tried to interview comics, and this is coming across as the driest stuff ever.
No, but it's interesting on how you work your craft because you don't want to give away your show. We'll give away your show.
I think if people knew, like when you go to a comedy club, I mean, the main goal of every comic when you get better is to make it look effortless, make it look like it's coming off the top of your head. And there's some people that do that all the time, and there's some people that it's natural. But at the same time, when you see a joke, people see it, the finished product. They don't realize that there are times where you can work on a joke for 2 or 3 months. You can work on, you know, every word, taking out a the and replacing it with something else. That there's a lot that goes into it. And as a craft, there's a lot to nurturing it.
No, but honestly, I don't wear condoms. They're uncomfortable. Like I said, I'm Catholic. I pull out and try really hard and then pray for a week. That's what I do. Amen. Thank you, sir. I can't even watch porn anymore. You watch porn? Do you guys still watch porn? Do you guys, can you admit that out loud? Some of you do. That's cool. That's cool. I have tattoos, and I'm glad I have tattoos, because that means no matter how broke and desperate I get, I'll never do gay porn. Okay, a couple of you got that one. That's cool. I miss, like, my heyday of porn was the 90s. You're sorry. But no, like, you had Jenna Jameson, Jill Kelly. They were actually stars then. It was nice. It's not like today. Like, porn, like, once you get, like, sensitized to it or desensitized, porn becomes so boring. Like, I need, like, the lowest common denominator now. Like, I don't want production value. I don't want, like, pirates. I don't want scenes. Like, I want some girl to drop off her book bag in an apartment that has the most, like, taupe wall paintings. I just want, like, one random YouTube poster hanging while she's blowing a guy. I want some guy in the background playing Xbox. You know, random dog walks by at 5 minutes, 50 seconds. 80s. What, 80s? What? Or Hades? Don't act like I didn't say anything. I'm not a I'm not a T-Rex from Jurassic Park. His vision's based on movement. If you stay perfectly still, the comic will not see you. Like, where'd he go? Roar!
Damn, man, he got you.
Well, Matt, now that I know your name, because your buddy hates you. Did you really say 80s or Hades? What did you say? Forget it. 80s.
Yeah,
so you like Bush, not the band. Okay. Everybody likes to jerk off to porn thinking about what they look like when they come out of their mom's vagina. That's normal. Yeah, childbirth. It's very pretty. Sorry I made fun of it. I want to say this, though. I will say this. I love people of all walks of life. What I say here on stage is all in good fun. I did a couple jokes with Leah. I love gay people. That's cool. All walks of life, creed, color, whatever you want to have sex with, that's cool with me. It is. If I can be honest for one moment, if there's one group of people on this planet I cannot stand, it is goth teenagers. Yes. Because you always see them at the malls and everything. They have 37 layers of black clothing on, black eyeliner. They're always all pissed off. It's like, you're 13, you're in middle school, and you live in Winona. What's so wrong with your life? You know, it's like, cheer up, buttercup. Come on. It's right around the corner. Summertime is the best time of year to see goth kids. Because you see them at an amusement park, like a Six Flags or Cedar Point or wherever you guys go to. And you know they're miserable because they still have 37 layers of black clothing on. Even though it's 195 degrees outside. Eyeliner melting everywhere. Same thing. They're at an amusement park, and they still have scowls on their faces, even though they have like a giant stuffed animal under their arm, and they're eating cotton candy, and they have shirts on that say like death and suicide. But then you see them on a roller coaster cam, and they're just like, "Wee!" It's like, you fakers. I don't get it. Yeah, I like how being gay has become like a big thing. Like, they don't want, like, gay couples or gay teachers. They don't want gay couples to adopt. You know, it's always weird. Like, the gays are going to ruin America. They are. What have we gone through as a country in the past couple years? High unemployment, not enough jobs, people that are hungry, people that are homeless, not enough people in schools, kids that are going without. What do straight people make? Babies. What do gay people make? Parades. You know, it's like, And at parades, you get free candy, sometimes beads. Babies don't give you shit. They literally give you shit, but you wouldn't want it thrown at you at a parade, is what I'm saying. Like, people ignore the fact that in present-day America, there really are kids in orphanages that just want to be adopted. You know, they could care less. They want a warm meal. They want someone to help them with their homework. They want someone to read them a bedtime story and tuck them in. They could care less if both their mothers scissor after they fall asleep. Yes. It's honestly true. I'm glad she explained it. I don't know. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute or two. I sell t-shirts after the show because I'm that much of a household name. You took that way too literally. These are pretty self-explanatory, but they say legalize on the front. For the three people that like my pot jokes, that's my demographic. And on the back they say, you reek like weed, awesome. That's a cute item, that's cool. T-shirts I got in small through double extra large. If you want to buy one after the show, it's cool. T-shirts are $15. Yeah, buy them for your roommate. Yeah, I don't care who you buy it for. If it's not for you, maybe it's like your little fuck up cousin that you forgot to get something at Christmas and you can send this to him and he can think you care for a month. That's cool. Do what you got to do. But they're 15 after the show. People want to know, still rough economy, all that stuff. I want people to know that it's a promise. 100% of all proceeds of my merchandise stay in the United States economy. They do. 100% of all proceeds of my merchandise go to alcohol, marijuana, and Golden Tee 2011. Yes. Grizzly Flats, hell of a course. At least one of you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I don't know. We can be friends on Facebook if you want to be, unless you do the Farmville or whatever. That's weird still. I can write that down for you. It'd be cool. I'd love to hear from you if you had a good time at the show, at the big boob show. Still feels juvenile to say that, but it's the name of the building. All right. I don't know. I really do appreciate you guys coming out though. And people can say a smaller crowd. I love having fun. I hope you guys had fun tonight for this. Did you guys have a... All right. Honestly, it can sound patronizing when you thank people for letting you perform on a stage and for coming out. But I honestly mean it because you get to do this and it's fun. And you guys are living life the right way. You're out with other human beings. You're socializing. You're drinking on a Wednesday night. You could care less about careers or school. Good for you. But no, you're living life the right way. Like, you're not one of these people that's like on their laptop in an internet chat room for 22 hours a day talking to people you'll never meet in your life. Like, oh, you're in Australia, I'm in Minnesota. Have you ever seen a kangaroo? Die. No, because, you know, you're doing it the right way because in life you got to live life. We're only on this planet for a short amount of time. You got to have fun with everything you do in life. You do. You got to find minor obstacles, get a stressed everyday life. They build up on us. You got to release. And like, you know, like I don't like using public urinals either. I don't. A lot of guys can be pee shy. I understand that. But you got to have fun with life. Everything you do. Minor obstacles, learn to turn that frown upside down. You know? Yeah. Like next time you're at a packed bar, packed nightclub, a lot of dudes in the men's room, you're at a sporting event, same thing. Have fun with life. Walk up to that urinal proud. Yes. And take a piss like you did in first grade. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Pull your pants all the way down. Pull your underwear all the way down. Pull all your shirts halfway up. Just go. Don't even hold it. Spin around and say the ABCs, you know? Find the biggest dude in there and ask them to pick you up, you know?
You used a phrase a moment ago about your bag of tricks. Who are some of your favorite targets, you know, kind of on a day-in, day-out basis?
I don't know. And this, again, sounds so cliche, but there's just so much stuff. I'm not one of those people that, as a comic, you're supposed to sit down every 2 hours a day from 1 to 3, and that's your writing time or whatever. I mean, I get more inspired by just stuff that happens every day, and you see things that trigger a memory, or you see things. You know, my act is sex, drugs, politics, Jesus. You know, it goes a long way with how I've been writing more in the last couple of years, just making sure it's not you know, there's only so many topics comics can talk about, but at the same time, you know, everyone tries to put their personal spin on it, and I've been doing that. I've been getting a lot more political the last couple of years, act-wise, as well. I don't know, it's just more natural to me to talk about everyday life and all the BS topics everyone talks about, but being able to say it through your eyes, through your mind.
Who did you like? Who would you want to kind of, for lack of a better term, emulate? Who do you think is really super funny? Who would you would never try and touch that person's style?
I was talking to a guy that I worked with from San Francisco named Jason Downs just last week. And, you know, everyone does that. Who are your influences or whatever? My two biggest influences are Robert Schimmel and Mitch Hedberg. And Hedberg, of course, a Minnesota native. And he said it was funny that I only like dead people. And I saw Robert Schimmel's HBO special when I was in college. And even before I knew I wanted to even go after stand-up, I was like, that guy just did everything in stand-up I'd want to do. So I was a lot dirtier when I first started off. But Hedberg at the same time, Hedberg is just a brilliant example of taking the most mundane, ordinary topic and twisting them in his head and making it undeniably funny. And to me, whenever you see a comic, to me, the marking of a great joke from comic to comic is seeing somebody say something that was right there that you can say, man, why couldn't I have thought of that? And Hedberg was brilliant at that.
Although at such a huge level, is Robin Williams still probably the best improv guy ever? Or not?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that are, I mean, he's probably, you know, definitely a benchmark. I say with the improv piece, though, I mean, you look back at a lot of what he did in the 80s and everything that was brilliant. I think now, I mean, and this is not to talk bad about him or anything like that, because, you know, to have his level of success, I can wish for a quarter that and be happy. I think there's so many topics, though, like you have guys that, you know, coming off the top of your head and everything. He's so trained at doing it that it's probably, you know, a lot more effortless for him now than it was. I mean, he's definitely one of the kings of it. He's definitely a benchmark of it. But, I mean, you get to a level like that, and it's, you know, you have a cynical aspect of how much of that is he writing on his own, how much of that is natural anymore.
Okay.
If he's in the studio, though, I'd love to open for him.
Robin? I got Chris on the phone.
Don't get Robin, the cute 19-year-old intern, either. Don't get her.
So, have you been to Winona?
I've driven through it. I've never actually physically stopped there, even at McDonald's or anything. But Lindsay Hensel, whose name I think I might be mispronouncing, but she mispronounces mine on stage all the time, so that's fine. She's terrible at introducing me. She can tell you that herself.
Okay.
She's worked with me a couple of times when I did Goonies in Rochester, Minnesota, which is a couple of hours away, which is, you know, one of the nicest little comedy clubs in the country, which is funny that it's tucked in Rochester. But I've worked with her a couple of times, and, you know, she's a local comic that's eager and trying to get, and, you know, she's doing it the right way. You know, if you don't have the rooms there, you make the rooms, you build your audience, so... She invited me to come out, and I said, yeah, I like doing smaller shows like that. You know, at times everyone wants to be in the big clubs or anything, but the smaller shows are where, you know, you can really, the audience is a little more forgiving at times, and they're not, so they let you be on your A game, but you can still play around, and it's a little more, and do some things, and that's, I mean, that's more of a more, you know, natural and organic thing than when you're at a huge club, and you're trying to be the best that you are, and you're doing everything. It's fun to do more smaller shows that are more relaxed, and the audience is more into it, and it's more intimate. I guess it's kind of like when Bob Dylan or Kings of Leon or anybody wants to drop in and do a small show somewhere and just do like a small bar just to play and mess around a little bit.
Lindsay is the best, no doubt about it. Chris Hegedus, thank you for your time. Enjoy your stay, and we look forward to hearing your work.
Doug, man, I appreciate the time, and I hope people enjoy it, and it'll be a privilege and an honor to drink with the people of Winona.
KQAL would like to thank Chris Hegedus for joining us on tonight's live feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.